Good evening, everyone. It's indeed a wonderful privilege and a blessed opportunity to delve into the study of God's Word together. Let's open again with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your presence this evening with hearts filled with gratitude. Thank you, Father, for bringing us together to dive into your Word and to lift our prayer request to your throne of grace. As we go into a time of study and reflection, we humbly ask, Lord, for your guidance and for your wisdom. Speak to our hearts, grant us listening ears, open minds, and receptive spirits, Lord, and may your truth shape our thoughts and words, pointing us to your divine purpose and will. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. So for the past couple of months, we have been looking at the titles of God, and in this session, we'll be looking and we'll be considering the title of Jesus Christ as our great high priest. Now, in the letter to the Hebrews, the word priest or priesthood is used over 20 times. And the central theme of this letter revolves around the priesthood of Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, let's read a portion from Hebrews chapter 4, reading from verse 14 onwards. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 until chapter 5, verse 10. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things just as we were, yet without sin. Therefore, let's approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need. Chapter 5, verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of people in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is clothed in weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins for himself as well as for the people. And no one takes the honor for himself, but receives it when he is called by God, just as Aaron also was. So too, Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son today, I have fathered you," just as he also says in another passage, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." So this passage beautifully paints a picture of Jesus Christ as our great and perfect high priest, emphasizing both his perfection as well as his accessibility. Now, in order to understand the role of a priest, we need to go back to the book of Genesis. There we see that when God created man, he was made in his likeness to show forth his image and also to reflect back his glory. So it's apparent that since the beginning, there has been an innate awareness of a need to connect with God because we were made in his likeness. But the fall of humanity and the onset of sin severed that special bond and relationship that we had with God. And ever since man was driven out of the Garden of Eden, God became unapproachable. So in effect, the sinfulness of man and the holiness of God created this deep, very deep divide. And the Bible gives us a glimpse of this vast, you know, chasm, that this separation, when we see the encounter of our holy God and the nation of Israel at Mount Sinai. It is one of the most pivotal moments of the Old Testament, because this event not only reveals our God's holiness and majesty, but also his love and his desire for a covenant relationship with the people. But in order for that divine encounter to happen, there was great preparation needed from the people of Israel. So let's look at that portion in Exodus chapter 19, verses 10 to 14. Reading from verse 10, the Lord also said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate themselves them today and tomorrow, and have them wash their garments. Verse 11, and have them ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. But you shall set boundaries for the people all around, saying, beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall certainly be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall certainly be stoned or shot through, whether animal or person, the violator shall not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. He also said to the people, be ready for the third day, do not go near a woman. So we'll pause there for a moment and review what we just read. So here we see a powerful picture of the preparation that was needed on part of Israel to meet God at Mount Sinai. So they primarily had to follow these three main things. Number one, they had to consecrate themselves. And the act of consecration was setting oneself apart for a holy purpose. Number two, they had to set clear boundaries. And this boundary signified the sinfulness of man and the holiness of God and the need for a separation. And then finally, there was a waiting period. So they had to wait till the sounding of the trumpet before they could start their ascent to the mountain. Now let's continue from verse 16 onwards of Exodus chapter 19, when this waiting period is over and the Lord visits the nation on Mount Sinai. Verse 16, so it came about on the third day when it was morning that there was thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the entire mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. Then the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, go down, warn the people so that they do not break through to the Lord to stare, and many of them perish. Also have the priests who approach the Lord consecrate themselves, or else the Lord will break out against them. So these verses, we see a spectacular display of both God's power and his majesty as he descends upon Mount Sinai. And the reaction to that is fear and trembling that came upon the people as they witnessed God's majestic presence as he gave out the Ten Commandments. And then finally, we read the outcome in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18 and 19, where they realize their sinful state and the huge divide that exists between God and man. Verse 18 of chapter 20, and all the people were watching and hearing the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it all, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. So given how the Israelites were filled with fear and trembling just at the sight of God's presence and voice, they themselves came to the realization that they needed a mediator, someone who could bridge the gap between God and man. So later, we see that God instituted the Old Testament priesthood in the books of Exodus and Leviticus. And this formal priesthood was also known as the Aaronic priesthood because all the priests were to be selected from the line of Aaron. Now, the office of the priest is mentioned over 700 times in the Old Testament and over 80 times in the New Testament. So the idea and the role of a high priest was extremely important to the Jews. And given that the letter to the Hebrews was addressed to the first century Christians who came from a Jewish background. They knew the importance and the role of a high priest. They knew that they could not come to God on their own merit or standing. And the only way was through a mediator that God himself had appointed. And that is why the author of Hebrews in chapter 4 is communicating and applying the truth that Jesus Christ is our mediator and our great high priest. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1 to 3, the author mentions that two general qualifications of a high priest, and he slowly starts to build up the case why Jesus Christ fulfills this role perfectly. The first qualification is that the high priest should be taken from among men. So when God wanted to appoint a mediator, someone to stand between God and mankind, he chose a man to do it. Not an angel, not heavenly beings, not even any other earthly beings, but he chose man to do it. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1, we read, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of the people in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin." And the reason why God chose man is because of the second qualification, which we read in verse 2, so that he can deal gently with the ignorant and with the misguided, since he himself also is clothed in weakness. So let's look closer at each of these two qualifications. The first being that every high priest is to be taken by God from among men. Now, the high priest of the Old Testament, they were bridge builders to God, right? God was behind a veil, and the only way for man to get to God was through a mediator, through a high priest. Therefore, it was necessary for Christ to become a real man. It was not an option. In order for salvation to be achieved, it was absolute necessity for Christ to become man. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, we read, "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brothers, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." So Jesus Christ willingly came to this world as a man, and he walked the path of humanity for 33 years. He was in our shoes, and he experienced the full range of human emotions that we experience. In fact, he experienced even more temptation than any person who ever existed on earth. We read Satan, his adversary, brought the full force of temptation upon Jesus after he had fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. And we know that the intent of Satan was to derail our Savior's divine mission and purpose. And yet in the face of those challenges and temptations, our Savior remained sinless and faithful. Now, let's quickly also read verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 5. "And no one takes the honor for himself, but receives it when he is called by God, just as Aaron also was." So the high priest of the Old Testament was not only to be selected from among men, but they also had to be from the line of Aaron, the first high priest. So we know that there were three primary offices in the Old Testament: prophet, priest, and king. Now, each one of them had their own distinct method of appointment. The king was elected through a combination of divine appointment and human anointing, just as in the case of King David, right? And the king was elected to be in charge of the leadership and governance of the nation. The prophet, on the other hand, was appointed by divine calling, and they served as God's messenger to the people. Now, the priest, on the other hand, their appointment was hereditary. and they were from the line of Aaron, and they served as God's intermediary between God and mankind. And this is very important because there were a few instances in the Bible we see where someone who was not in the line of Aaron, when they tried to serve the role of a priest, God dealt very harshly with them. We all know the case of Korah, right? As he led a rebellion against Moses because he wanted his line to also serve the role of a priest. God, you know, we know what happened, right? God opened up the earth and swallowed them, right? We also know the case of King Saul, right? Instead of waiting for Samuel, he went ahead and offered the sacrifices. And God immediately rejected him as king and sought after David, a man after God's own heart. And then we also know the account of King Uzziah, who was struck with leprosy when he served the role of a high priest. So the net of this is that you cannot elect your own high priest, but instead you must receive the priest that God has appointed. And it had to be from the line of Aaron. Now, why is this important? Because that's exactly the point the author of Hebrew makes next, to state that Jesus Christ is our true great high priest. Jesus Christ did not choose the role of a high priest himself. It was appointed by God in the Old Testament. Now, I'd like to direct your attention to Psalms chapter 110, verse 4. It's a prophetic and messianic psalm penned by David. And it says, "The Lord has sworn, and I will not relent, and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." So this psalm was written by David while the Aaronic system of priesthood was still in effect and was the established authority. And the fact that this verse was written at that time shows that there was something lacking in the Levitical order of priesthood, right? And if the Levitical order of priesthood was perfect, then why would God announce and establish a higher order of priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek? Now, in Genesis, we see a particular transaction that takes place between Melchizedek and Abraham, right? We see there that Melchizedek blesses Abraham, and Abraham offers his tithe to Melchizedek. Now, in the Jewish tradition, it is the superior who blesses the inferior, and it is the inferior who offers tithe to the superior. So in that transaction, in that encounter, Melchizedek is seen as superior to Abraham. And since Levi and Aaron are descendants of Abraham, it follows, and the author is making the point, that the priesthood of Melchizedek is superior to the priesthood of Aaron. And finally, to complete this point, if we go back to this verse again, notice what it says, right? God is making this proclamation. He says, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent." In other words, what it means is that God has made an oath and he will not change his mind. He ordains Jesus Christ as our great and perfect high priest. And what God has sworn and appointed, we must receive. So we looked at the first qualification of the high priest. Now let's look at the second one in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 2, it says that he shall deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is clothed in weakness. So in the Old Testament system of priesthood, as the Israelite brought their offering to the priest would inspect it, and then he would ask the Israelite to place his hand on the head of the lamb, and then ask them to confess their sins. So you can picture the scene in your mind where the priest is telling the Israelite to place their hand on the head of the lamb. And as the Israelite is placing his hands on the head, he is pouring out his heart and confessing his sins. And we would hope that the high priest who is witnessing this would have a heart of compassion towards that Israelite. That, that he would be compelled to say in his heart to this fellow Israelite, "I know your struggles, brother. I know what you're going through, and my heart goes out to you." And this is because God was so concerned that the high priest would have a heart of compassion, not only to his fellow Israelites, but also towards those who were misguided and those who are ignorant, so that he would deal gently with them, right? So not with a heart of judgment or with the attitude of anger, but rather treat them with a gentle heart. Now, even if we consider the garment that was worn by the high priest, they had to wear a breastplate that had 12 stones on it, right? Each stone representing a tribe of Israel. So symbolically speaking, right, the high priest had the 12 tribes close to his heart. So true high priests had to have a heart of compassion, and they had to be sympathetic to others. And our Savior's experience while he was in human form makes him a perfect high priest, full of mercy and compassion. He not only empathizes with our struggles, but he offers us a source of strength in moments of weakness. We read in Matthew chapter 20 that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There are also many instances in the gospel where we see where Jesus Christ exemplified compassion, right? We read at the grave of Lazarus, Jesus was so moved by the grieving sisters, Martha and Mary, that he wept alongside them. And also we see at the instance in the Garden of Gethsemane, we witness the profound compassion of Jesus Christ in one of his most vulnerable moments. As he was praying in anguish, he knew that the entire weight of the world's sin was going to be placed upon him. And yet he had a heart of compassion at that time. In the Gospel of Luke, we read that, as he was praying in anguish, his sweat dropped his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. So we see that even in his moment of anguish, he had an extreme heart of compassion for our salvation. So the two qualifications of the high priest was clearly fulfilled in Jesus Christ in his work at the cross, bringing God and man together. Now, I'd like to close by going back to the first verse in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, where it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to our confession." Now, the author here mentions that Jesus Christ has passed through the heavens. Now, in the Old Testament system of priesthood, the high priest on the Day of Atonement had to take the blood of the goat and pass through three areas, right? He had to go into the outer court, then into the holy place, and then finally through the veil into the Holy of Holies. And all the while he had to be standing, and he could not stay there past the time of the Day of Atonement because he would surely die. For he was a sinner and he had no right to be in the presence of God. And if you take the analogy, our great high priest, Jesus Christ, he has passed through the three heavens. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul speaks of the third heaven. We know that the first heaven is the atmospheric heaven. The second heaven is the, space and stars of heaven. And the third heaven is the heavenly abode of God, the Holy of Holies. So Jesus Christ has also passed through these three heavens. And not only has he passed through these three heavens into the third heaven, but he's also exalted above the heavens. And he is seated at the highest place in the heavens, at the right hand of God, interceding for us as our mediator and high priest. So in conclusion, the priesthood of Jesus Christ surpasses the Old Testament priesthood. And he serves today in heaven as our great and perfect high priest, mediating between God and humanity and making a way for us to be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. So may his compassion guide our actions and our thoughts as we go into a time of prayer, and maybe consider and reflect on this scriptural portion that God has provided to us in his word. May his name be glorified.